In the past 3 weeks at St. Vincent's Hospital, Dr. Tim Bode says they've seen a 700% increase in COVID patients.
We're feeling the surge, and it's real.
They're feeling the same pressure at Brookwood Baptist Health. Here's Dr. Elizabeth Innes.
We, too, have ICUs that are busy and full, are converting ICUs that were formerly not COVID units to current COVID units.
Birmingham hospital leaders say this time around, the staffing shortage is more severe. Most patients are unvaccinated and tend to be younger. Dr. Jeremy Rogers is with Grandview Medical Center.
So this is absolutely heartbreaking what we're seeing. It's tragic, and unfortunately, it's largely preventable.
Officials continue to urge residents to get vaccinated. Mary Scott Hodgen, WBHM.
WBHM's Mary Scott Hodgen reports.
The Jefferson County Cemetery is a big grassy field surrounded by a chain link fence. It's the final resting place for people considered indigent or without family to claim them.
Everybody's facing due east right now.
Michael Crane is the caretaker. He digs the graves and he remembers who's buried in each plot. There are no headstones, so Crane makes these homemade markers.
This is just a can.
He takes fruit cans, fills them with cement, and uses them to identify each grave.
And put my imprint in them. They have to be totally dry before I start stamping that.
So they need to. Earlier this week, Crane buried four people.
Today is a list of decedents scheduled for county burial on Monday, 2/8/21 at the Jefferson County Pauper Cemetery. This is Derek Wayne Jones. He's age 61. He's a black male. He's 5'9" and weighs 202 pounds. The next decedent is Antonio Palomo. He's 62.
This has become the new normal. In recent months, Crane says they've buried four people every week. It's the most that they can transport. And there's almost always more bodies waiting in the morgue.
There's usually at least one COVID patient a week, sometimes two. So there has been an increase since COVID come about. So
in Jefferson County, like the rest of the
answers
country.
On where we stand with vaccines in Alabama is WBHM Health and Science reporter Mary Scott Hodgen. Mary Scott, good to have you here.
Good to be here, Andrew.
Who can get a vaccine right now?
Okay, so one thing to note is that every county can do things a bit differently. So some counties are ahead of others right now. But across the state, healthcare workers and people who live or work in long-term care facilities are currently eligible for the vaccine. Now, next Monday, those who are 75 and older, plus additional first responders like law enforcement and firefighters, will also become eligible.
Okay, let's say I fit one of those categories. How do I get a vaccine then?
So if you live or work in a long-term care facility, the vaccine is supposed to come to you. This is part of a federal program partnering with big pharmacies like CVS and Walgreens. And those pharmacies are deploying people to long-term care facilities to distribute the vaccine. Now, for healthcare workers, if you work at one of a hospital or a clinic that received a vaccine allotment, you will likely get notified when it's your turn. And in fact, some frontline providers at UAB Hospital have already gotten their second dose. Now, for everyone else, except for those who live in Jefferson County, okay, so everyone else in the state of Alabama, except for those in Jefferson County, they can schedule an appointment through the Alabama Department of Public Health. The department established a hotline on Friday to schedule appointments for next week. But that system, it's been overwhelmed. They got more than 1 million calls in the first day. So the health department is really stressing to only call if you're eligible or if you're about to become eligible. And you can find those links and those phone numbers at our website, WBHM.org.
Now that's for those outside of
BHM's Mary Scott Hodgen reports.
In April, a correctional officer escorted Shannon Barlow to a table at the front of Limestone Correctional Facility.
He had a check laying down, face down. I never got to see the front of it.
The officer told Barlow that the check was worth $1,400, his pandemic stimulus payment.
So I signed the check. He said thank you, it'd be posted in 30 days, and called the next man in. Very simple, short and simple.
Most inmates don't earn income inside prison, and they often depend on family for financial support. Inmates say they need money to buy extra food, soap, and to pay for things like medicine, phone calls, and doctor's appointments. So Barlow was excited to get his stimulus check, but turns out the process is anything but simple. Officials told inmates they would actually hold the checks for 60 days and maybe take out some of the money for court-ordered payments. Some inmates lost all access to their prison bank accounts. Barlow says this created chaos. He says a lot of guys are frustrated and confused.
I don't know how they're actually messing with these people's money like they are, because they ain't never did nothing like this before. And I did almost 30 years in prison.
What's happening inside prison has a lot to do with what's happening outside in courthouses across Alabama. The city's mayor, Walt Maddox, says it changed everything.
I've said then, and I say again now, it's like the hand of God slammed down on our city.
A lot of the damage was in low-income communities, to buildings that didn't comply with modern construction codes. Maddox says there was pressure to rebuild quickly.
There were some people who said, we just need to build back now and just go back to the way it was. That wasn't possible. I mean, in 6 minutes, 40 years of federal, state, and local codes caught up with businesses, most of them who were built before codes even existed.
In addition to updated requirements, the city's redevelopment plan added new rules: what construction materials to use, how much space to leave for sidewalks and parking. For many business owners, it made things complicated. It took more than a year for Full Moon Barbecue to reopen, across from its original location at 15th Street and McFarland. The owner, Brian Ahmed, says there were a lot of growing pains, like dealing with years of construction up and down 15th Street.
You know, hindsight 2020. Now we're looking back, we're like, wow, this worked out great. But at the time, you know, you just, this frustration, you know, it's took a lot of patience.
Many residents were frustrated with the recovery process, dealing with insurance claims, finding temporary housing.